Our gospel lesson this morning comes once again from the Gospel of Matthew, this time from the 16th chapter, verses 13 through 20. As I read these familiar words, listen for what may be being spoken into your life and your heart at this point on your faith journey. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When Danny read those words and those who were before read them today, I was amazed by them. Words from Romans 12. And I said at the other service that I'm tempted to say that if I only had one chapter of Scripture, I might choose Romans 12 to be that chapter. You just heard verses 1 through 8. There's still 9 through, I think, 21. So I'm going to read part of the remaining verses to give you kind of a taste of what's in there. It's one of those what I call how-to sections of the Bible, how to live full, abundant, and meaningful lives. So are you ready? Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I could just say, so let it be. So let it be, and we can move on to our time of prayer. And I thought about doing that, and then I thought that if I did that, we would get out early. And if we got out early today, there would be weeping and gnashing of teeth, and I just couldn't bear the thought of that. So in the words of the angels to the shepherds on that Bethlehem, and you saw where Bethlehem was, Bethlehem, country, hillside, fear not. Fear not, I bring you good news of great joy. There is more sermon to come. That's supposed to be a joke, Mike. Come on, Mike, lighten up. Okay. These words of Paul are inextricably linked to our gospel lesson this morning, what is called the Confession of St. Peter. Who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, others Jeremiah, one of the prophets. But who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." My thinking is this. If we are a community characterized by what I read in Romans 12, then we're a community characterized by what I just read in Matthew 16. If we are folks who can be described as not being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our minds and our lives, if we are folks who do not think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, if we are many, even though we are many, are one, if we allow our love to be genuine and hate what is evil and we hold fast to what is good, not allowing ourselves to be overcome by evil, then we are those who find themselves aligned with the mystery of Christ and thereby are the presence through which God lays hold of this world. Huh. But having said this, I want to ask something. What is your experience? Do you believe that, what do you believe comes first in our lives? A confession of belief, you know, or a life characterized by integrity? Now just think about it for a second. Do you think and calculate what you believe and then live into it? Or do you live your way into what you believe? I don't know if that quite makes sense. Do you carefully formulate and embrace a personal theology and ecclesiology before you set out on your faith journey? Or do you somehow stumble into your faith as you live out your life? I guess it depends on who you ask, really. And maybe they're just so integrally connected that it's both. It's both. In the book of Acts, which dates to the late first century, written by the same person who wrote the Gospel according to Luke, we read the following statement. Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus. So if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. The way was called. That's what the early faith community was called. Hodos is the Greek word. You know, the way, the path, the road, the journey. We've talked about Stephen Batchelor before. He was a monk who former monk who has written many things. And one of his books was entitled Living with the Devil, A Meditation on Good and Evil. And in that book, he talks about, he gives this illustration. He says, a person finds themselves in the desert, scorching sun, no water, biting wind, and they're trying to make their way through this desert scene. But the weather starts to wear them down. And just when they're at the point of giving up, they see before them footprints in the sand. They rejoice. This is the answer they've been looking for. This is the way out. Maybe these footprints lead across this dune and to an oasis. But as soon as the hopelessness turns to joy, the joy turns to despair. When they realize what? That those footprints are their own. Batchelor calls this the devil's circle. And what he means by that is that the idea of moving constantly, thinking you're going in a straight line, but you're doubling back on yourself. And you're doing the exact same thing. He says this, a devil's circle is addictive. It raises you to dizzy heights of rapture, only to bring you crashing down into the troughs of despair. Yet I do not hesitate to start the diabolic cycle again. I find it hard to resist the urge to go through the familiar and comforting motions of a habit, even when I know that the end result will be the anxious craving to repeat the experience again. Whether the obsession is food, power, sex, religion, or a drug, the pattern is the same. Do you know the devil's circle? It's being caught in a pattern of living that leads nowhere. Day after day, we do the same thing we've done for years and years. And years, and we try to convince ourselves that we're growing as human beings. We're becoming better, right? Despite the fact that year after year, we lament our lack of spiritual vitality. I'm convinced that one of the main benefits of a faith community like this, whether it's coming to worship or in small groups or Bible studies or just social gatherings of folks, is that we are a community that's grounded at some level in the ministry of Christ. And so because of that, when we gather, we begin to face ourselves. When we gather, we begin the process of unmasking. Week after week, we gather and we tell the stories. One thing I appreciate about the Methodist tradition and Wesleyan theology is John Wesley's understanding of what's called the Ordo Salutis, the order of salvation. He visualized it as a path that you move across, a path towards perfection of love, love of others and love of God. And it's all grounded, again, I use it over and over again because it's an incredible passage. You know, when the young man asked Jesus, what must I do to be in a right relationship with God, to find life? Love the Lord your God with everything and neighbor as yourself. You know it. It's a path. That is a way. It's not a circle. 2 weeks from today, we're going to begin a walk together using Brian McLaren's book, The Great Spiritual Migration, The Great Spiritual Movement. And as I said last week, in the preface of that work, McLaren starts with describing the human story as a great migration. And then he narrows it down to our faith tradition. And you read about, you know, Abraham early on in tradition goes. You read about Moses leads the people out. You read about the Israelites in the desert. You read about going into exile and the return from exile. And then he gets very specific in the ministry of Jesus. And he said, Jesus' first words are, follow me. Come with me somewhere else than where you are now. And then McLaren writes this, of the many radical things said and done by Jesus, his unflinching emphasis on love was most radical of all. Love was the greatest commandment, he said. It was his new commandment, his prime directive, love for God, for self, for neighbor, for stranger, for alien, for outsider, for outcast, and even for enemy, as he himself modeled. The new commandment of love meant that neither beliefs, nor words, nor taboos or systems, structures, nor the labels that enshrine them mattered most. Love decentered everything else. Everything. And there you go. There's the map. There's the map. You know, I know the experience of a devil's circle, but I never seem to get it. You know, I never seem to understand why I never get anywhere. Why I keep passing the same landmarks in my life. Romans 12 and much of Paul's writings, for that matter, are about learning to walk the path. Learning to walk the way, uppercase W. And Paul is talking about a journey, and I think he says it best when he writes these words. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Do not be conformed. Do not be formed with and by this world, but allow yourself to be transformed. Change, refigured, you know, refreshed, recreated. Do not be conformed. Be transformed. That's a novel thought. How about not thinking of ourselves more highly than we should? That's something. How about rejoicing with those who rejoice, weeping with those who weep? Not bad. How about not allowing ourselves to be overcome by evil? But overcoming evil with good. That would change the world. That would change the world. So let me ask you as we close, do you have a path? Do you have a path that you're on where you're moving forward or are you going in a circle? This fall, I want us to think about this together. I want us to think about the life of faith. No, just life itself. There's no difference between life and life of faith. Is it a path that leads nowhere? Or is it a place? A path that leads somewhere new. I hope you'll join us for this journey and this conversation. But in the meantime, I just encourage you to keep walking. Keep moving. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Practice goodness. Practice grace. This week, practice genuine love in your life. Be conscious of that. So practice your faith. And as you practice, you'll find that you're moving ever further into the heart of God. So I hope you'll join us for this conversation. Thanks be to God. Amen.